Hello, welcome to your daily briefing, August the 20th, 2020. Let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you continue to guide us in the path of righteousness. Our hearts are filled with joy as we look up at all of the things that are happening around us and know that you've warned us in advance concerning all of these things. We ask for your continued guidance, knowing, of course, that you will continue to protect. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, today I'd like to share an article with you from the Washington Examiner. And the article was published on March the 13th, 2020. That's the Washington Examiner. March the 13th, 2020. The writer of the article is Nicholas Rowan, R-O-W-A-N, and the title of the article is "The Most Catholic Administration We've Had. Boosters Look to Capitalize on Trump's Social Issues Record." Let me give you the title again. "The Most Catholic Administration We've Had. Boosters Look to Capitalize on Trump's Social Issues Record." As I said before, the article is found in the Washington Examiner. It was published on March the 13th, 2020, and the writer of the article is Nicholas Rowan. Now here's the article. President Trump's campaign is increasing its efforts to court Catholic voters with a new campaign coalition. Catholics for Trump, by focusing on the president's support for such issues as religious freedom and opposition to abortion. The coalition, which was set to launch in Milwaukee next week, seeks to rally Catholics behind Trump's administration's vision of the common good as it relates to Catholic teaching on social issues that right-learning, right-leaning Catholics have long championed. The launch event has been postponed because of the fears of coronavirus outbreak, and a campaign spokesperson told the Washington Examiner it has not yet been rescheduled. Pandemics notwithstanding, many Catholic leaders say they are exercised to throw their support behind Trump in 2020. That mood is much different than in 2016 when many Catholics supported Trump, despite a big question mark in their minds, said Frank Pavone, national director of the Priests of Life, who served on Trump's Catholic Advisory Group in 2016. Pavone became a controversial figure directly before the 2016 election when he delivered a sermon about abortion while after placing what he claimed was an aborted baby on an altar. "They weren't quite sure they were going to get the right man," Pavone said. "What they were more sure about is what they would not be getting by rejecting Hillary. Now, however, the question mark has changed into an exclamation point." For Pavone, who was expected to help lead Catholics for Trump, that exclamation point is Trump's expressive support for the anti-abortion movement, manifested most recently in his speech at the 2020 March for Life, the first such presidential in-person appearance at an anti-abortion rally. Other exclamation points include Trump's Supreme Court appointments and his cabinet member picks, which include a number of practicing Catholics, White House Counsel Pat Cipollone and Attorney General William Barr among them. Appointments such as Barr, as well as the possibility of a conservative majority on the Supreme Court, are part of what should drive Catholics to Trump, Pavone said, adding that these are the ways Trump has proven that he is friendly to the Catholic vision of things. Brian Birch, president of CatholicVote.org, an organization supporting Trump but officially affiliated with the campaign coalition, extended that endorsement also. "This is the most Catholic administration we've had in American history, both at a policy level and at a personal level, he told the Washington Examiner, citing Trump's support for the sanctity of life, the family as the foundational support of life, and the necessity of religious liberty. Barr, in particular, has pleased Catholics supporting Trump by who he is. Under him, the Department of Justice seeks to defend religious freedom zealously, officials told reporters during a Monday press briefing. Since Barr assumed his post in February 2019, the Justice Department has filed statements of interest in many cases involving Catholic and otherwise religious institutions over religious liberty issues. Now, let me pause here to say that these people, when they're talking about religious liberty, they are talking about an entirely different definition than the one that you think is found in the Supreme, in the Constitution of the United States. But we will deal with that at another time. Continuing the article. In September 2019, the department rose to the defense of the Archdiocese of Indianapolis, which had fired a married gay employee at a Catholic high school. Amid the outcry, the Archdiocese had stated that, per Catholic teaching on marriage, its school cannot employ a person who is openly in a same-sex marriage and identifies as a Catholic. When the teacher sued, the Justice Department spoke in favor of the Archdiocese, saying that the Catholic Church has the right to decide how it enforces its doctrines because of the First Amendment. Barr has also stirred controversy in his speeches, speaking out against the militant and growing ascendancy of secularism and the doctrine of moral relativism. Last year at the University of Notre Dame, he made that speech. Barr delivered a similar speech in February at the National Religious Broadcasters Convention in Tennessee. He is also set to speak at the National Catholic Prayer Breakfast at the end of March, where he will receive an award for his long history of dedicated public service and his commitment to the defense of the vulnerable and religious liberty. The Trump administration has also earned such plaudits from Catholic leaders after several years. Early in the 2016 campaign, Trump had faced serious opposition from many Catholic leaders, especially after he called Pope Francis disgraceful for questioning his stance on border security. CatholicVote.org was skeptical and opposed him during the primaries, pointing to his lack of clear guiding principles and a history of unpredictability. The group was one of the many that called upon Trump to step down after the Access Hollywood tapes leaked in October showing Trump making lewd comments about women. If Donald Trump is unwilling to step aside, the Republican National Committee must act soon out of basic decency and self-preservation, the Catholic organization wrote at the time. But once elected, Trump's presidency proved encouraging, and CatholicVote.org warmed to him. Even before Catholics for Trump was announced, CatholicVote.org already was organizing along the nonprofit Knights of Columbus to register and inform voters about their choices in November. Polling data from Real Clear Research shows that practicing Catholics support Trump much more than non-practicing or lapsed Catholics. These people, many of whom live in the heavily Catholic and electorally pivotal states of Wisconsin and Michigan, could be key to re-electing Trump, Birch said. We believe this represents an enormous opportunity, particularly in an election that's anticipating historic turnout, where both campaigns are going to be looking for sources of new votes, Birch said. And we think a largesse of those votes, especially in the upper Midwest, are in our churches every Sunday. Explicit support for Trump among practicing Catholics has not been universal, however. The Archdiocese of Milwaukee on Wednesday distanced itself from the campaign initiative before the launch was postponed. The mission of the church is religious, not political, Archbishop Jerome Leteski wrote in an open letter. For reasons that are both theological and legal, The church's involvement in public life does not extend to endorsing candidates for election to public office or calling for their defeat. Other bishops have offered more pointed criticisms of the president. After a mass shooting in August 2019, Bishop Mark Stetz of El Paso, Texas, called upon Trump to examine himself and the kind of rhetoric that contributes to the hatred of a whole group of people, as many people blame the president's rhetoric for inciting violence. Trump's rhetoric on immigration has also not encouraged support from Hispanics, many of whom are Catholics. In 2018, many bishops in largely Hispanic dioceses criticized Trump's family separation policy at the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops meeting. But even with these obstacles, the Trump campaign's outreach efforts to Catholics in 2020 is much more organized than its push in 2016, which, in the beginning, was non-existent. That's changed, however, when Deal Hudson, the director of Catholic outreach for George W. Bush's 2000 and 2004 campaigns, convinced the Trump campaign to begin courting Catholic voters in 2016 through a series of tweets and meetings with Catholic leaders. Once Trump secured the nomination, the campaign organized a Catholic advisory committee, including Pavone, former Senator Rick Santorum, and Matt Scalp, chairman of the American Conservative Union. The group promised to steer Trump on religious liberty, abortion, and Supreme Court issues. In 2020, the campaign plans to continue increasing that outreach to Catholics, according to former Representative Tim Hanskamp, a senior advisor at CatholicVote.org, who is expected to be involved with Catholics for Trump. Catholics were of secondary importance to the Trump campaign in 2016 behind evangelicals, Hanskamp said in January. That hasn't changed, but there is at least an effort to reach this community this time. Well, that's the end of the article. And of course, as I said before, the article is found in the Washington Examiner. It was published on March the 13th, 2020. The article was written by Nicholas Rowan, R-O-W-A-N, and the title of the article is "The Most Catholic Administration We've Had. Boosters Look for to Capitalize on Trump's Social Issues Record." There's a second article that we'd like to take a look at today for you, and this is found in the America website. Now, of course, America is the Jesuit Review website. That article was published on July the 28th, 2020. And the writer of this article is Michael J. O'Loughlin. O apostrophe L-O-G-H-L-I-N. The title of this article is "How Trump and Biden Are Courting Catholic Voters." As I said before, the article is found in the Jesuit Review, the American Jesuit Review, published on July the 28th, 2020. The writer of the article is Michael J. O'Loughlin. And the title of the article is "How Trump and Biden Are Courting Catholic Voters." Here's the article. With a little more than 3 months to go until the November 3 election, the campaign of President Donald Trump and former Vice President Joe Biden are each making efforts to attract Catholic voters, a once reliable Democratic constituency that in recent years has been up for grabs. The campaigns and their surrogates say the choice is stark, each highlighting issues they believe will appeal to their kinds of Catholic voters. Those motivated primarily by abortion, and those who see in the last 4 years a turn away from caring for society most marginalized. Mr. Biden has spoken frequently about his own faith while talking to voters, especially in the early primary states. His campaign has so far courted voters motivated by their faith by inserting values language into outreach aimed at traditional Democratic cohorts such as women, Hispanics, and LGBT people. The Biden campaign also plans to announce a group of highly profile Catholic endorsing the former vice president later this summer. In the meantime, the campaign launched a Believers for Biden online campaign, which includes virtual conversations with campaign staff and weekly prayer reflections. The Biden campaign recently hired a faith outreach director, and it has specifically targeted Jewish, Muslim, and even Republican-leaning evangelical Christian voters, but it is seeking to imbue Mr. Biden's entire message with language informed by faith and values. A recent campaign ad from the Biden campaign, for example, includes an image of a priest standing in a hospital room. As for Catholic voters specifically, John McCarthy, a staffer for the Biden campaign, said Mr. Biden's personal story, as well as the campaign's theme, will speak directly to faith voters. At the core of Catholicism is the message that we look out for our neighbor. As we look toward the general election, America has to answer the question of who we are. At the core of Catholicism is that message. And Mr. McCarthy said in a phone interview with America, for Catholics and for faith voters, the question is, are we going to look out for one another, see the other as ourselves? If they ask that, these voters will ultimately stand with Vice President Biden, who has a lifelong commitment to issues at the core of Catholic social teaching. Michael Weir, who worked in faith outreach for former President Barack Obama, has been critical of Democratic efforts to reach faith voters, especially in the 2016 election. In 2008, then-candidate Barack Obama announced a National Catholic Advisory Council in April, but in 2016, Hillary Clinton's campaign did not organize a Catholic leadership team. Mr. Weir said he sees signs that the Biden campaign is taking faith outreach more seriously than did Hillary. The most important thing there needs to be is an explicit invitation to religious voters that Biden wants their vote. That needs to be clear, Mr. Weir said. The vice president doesn't need to be doing faith events every other day, but what we're looking for is one or two key moments where faith takes center stage. One small example, in 2016 interview with The Atlantic, Mr. Weir recalled that he had once drafted a strategy memo about the Democratic Party concern for the least of these, a nod to a story in the Gospels about Jesus concerning the poor and marginalized, a phrase met with confusion by another staffer. 4 years later, on the Biden campaign's webpage highlighting his outreach to Catholic voters, is a section about the former vice president's commitment to build an economy that protects the least of these. The Trump campaign, meanwhile, has resurrected its Catholic for Trump group, which got off to a rocky start earlier this year. The campaign published a video in May. Conversations with some of the group's members, including the political pundit Mary Matalin and the conservative activists Matt and Mercedes Scalp, after an in-person launch was scrapped in March because of the pandemic. The event, which was supposed to be held in Wisconsin, drew criticism from at least one Catholic bishop who wanted to distance the institutional church from the rally. Like all voters, Catholics have concerns on a number of issues, and especially those that impact the most vulnerable. Another member of Catholics for Trump, who was part of the YouTube event, says she is supporting the president's re-election because of his views on abortion, an issue she says reveals the heart and soul of a candidate and is a roadmap to their other positions. Like all voters, Catholics have concerns on a number of issues, and especially those that impact the most vulnerable, Kristen Hawkins also said, as someone else in the article said. Some Catholic politics and their political groups and media figures, not officially linked with the campaign, have also been vocal in their support of the president. the Michigan-based organization, Catholic Vote, has used social media and direct mail to make the case that Mr. Trump is good for Catholic voters, highlighting his opposition to abortion. Raymond Aroro, a talk show host on the influential Catholic television station EWTN, interviewed Mr. Trump in June, joking with Mr. Trump and complimenting his rally crowd sizes. Mr. Aroro is also a contributor to Fox News, where he regularly questions Mr. Biden's fitness to be president. So notice here in this article, both of these men are approaching the Catholics and trying to see if they can get Catholics to vote for them. Of course, you know that Joe Biden is a devout Catholic, has always been. It would be interesting to see where they come down. We've been warned in advance of what is happening next and where this land is moving and the direction and the choices that America has already begun to make. No longer does she speak like a lamb, but she has already begun to speak like a dragon. And we see the moves that have been told in God's word coming to pass around us. We need to be ready for the time to come. We need to place ourselves in God's hands. We need to ask Him to give us the strength that is necessary so that we might walk with Him along the path where He leads. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for all that you do. We thank you for the strength that you provide and the warnings that you have given. We ask that you would help us to be committed to your service and to follow you closely in all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This has been your Daily Briefing, August the 20th, 2020.